Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Are you ready, really, to get into the Word? I am. I love it. Let's go. I love it. Let's go. Welcome to St. Charles River Church. We really, when I say this, it's the truth. So let's get into the Word. I want to talk to you this morning about a changing of the mind. And it is, you know, for those who have never really experienced the Christian side or the faith side of the changing of the mind, one of the things I liken it most to, how many are grandparents here today? Isn't it a great life? Well, Mike's a little busy these days. Pastor Mike's a little busy these days, so he can roll his eyes a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different perspective, more absolutely, you know, that busy role as a grandparent. But for those of us who are able to distance, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? That's it. Spoil them, send them home. Well, I will tell you, I've known, where did Ed go? Ed Boyette, where did he? He's counting. Oh my goodness, he's not even here to let me throw him under the bus. I have known Ed Boyette and Terry for years. I'll throw Terry under the bus. I've known them for years and years and years. And by the way, I had some of you actually said to me through the years when you had grandchildren, and we didn't. You just wait. I said, no, I know it's going to be a great. No, you can't even imagine. And I was like, no, I'm sure that, you know, it's, you know, we've got puppies, you know, they're furry and that you want to love on them. And they're like, no, you become stupid. Sorry, moms, I use the S word in church, but you become stupid. You actually become stupid. And what I've learned is I became stupid. And who became more stupid was Ed Boyette. Ed Boyette became so giddily stupid as a grandfather. You know what happens? They say these words, Grandpa, I love you, I love you. And your cash just comes out of my pocket. I mean, cash just starts coming out. What do you want, little sweetie? You know, I just want to kiss you. Come here, Grandpa give you $20 for a kiss. Come here. I mean, we just get stupid. We're going to regret that one day because the gifts get more expensive as time goes. As they get older, they want bigger things, bigger toys. My mind, and so was Ed Boyette's, I'm going to tell you, was renewed in something I could not, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, in something I could never have asked for or imagined. There was a joy that came into my life. There was a new person. I became a new person. I became something I never was before. I became a grandfather. I became papa. I became mm-mm when it was in the early years, mm-mm. I became something I never knew how to be. And I always thought, how do you be a grandfather? I mean, I couldn't even have imagined it. Before Christ, none of us could have really imagined what, you know what we imagined? I can't drink anymore. I can't smoke anymore. I can't cuss. I know I can't cuss, not least in front of my mother-in-law. I can't cuss in front of her anymore. And you start thinking all these things you got to give up. That's what we have, this truly tarnished version of what Christianity is, and is nowhere about what God's Word says. God's Word tells us that the believer's life is full. The believer's life is so full of joy and emotional passion for our Creator. And then we get this. This is what Jesus said. All men will, in John 13, all men will know you're my disciples by how many times you go to church every month. That's not what he said. He said, all men will know you're my disciples because you don't do these things anymore. No, It's not what he said. What he said is all men in John 13 will know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. In other words, the world doesn't love that way. The world doesn't love unconditionally like it's an agape love. You all know what agape love is. It's a Greek word. It's the perfect love. It's a God love. An unconditional love. I'm just going to love you. It isn't a matter of you deserve the love. I'm going to love you in spite of you may hate me. But it's a supernatural, God-given, spoken into us kind of love. And God gives us this agape love. And Jesus said it'll be the mark of every believer. John 13, he said it'll be the mark of every believer that by this all men will know that you're a follower of me. So your mind is renewed. Now turn with me. I'm going to jump real quick to Romans chapter 12. We're going to pick up. This is part two. I did part one. Was it 4 weeks, 3 weeks ago? But I want to pick up a little bit from part one. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Remember, Paul is saying, after 11 chapters rather of God's grace, teaching you about the grace of God, I want to tell you a little bit about your reaction. And there's a therefore word in there. In fact, there's a couple of therefore words on the way there. But there's this chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writes, therefore, in the light of all of, remember this, just a little review, in the light of all of God's mercy that I've told you about now for 11 chapters, though he didn't write them as chapters, he wrote them as letters. He said, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Remember, the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Everybody remember that. Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Paul even asked that in other places. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He said, he goes on to say here, he says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The actual Greek broken down in that, the actual Greek says this is the only reasonable response to the view of God's mercy. It's your only reasonable response. As merciful as God has been to you, the only thing you can do is give yourself wholly to Him, completely. W-H-O-L, and also H-O-L-Y. But holy and pleasing to Him. Anything else is absurd. Anything else about keeping you, about, you know, living life for you, my way, Elvis's song. You know, and I love the song, by the way, it's just, don't look at the words too closely because it's actually a tragic, tragic epitaph for a person to hear that they did it their way instead of God's way. At St. Charles River Church, as I said in part one of this, we teach that there's the basic definition of sin is this, my way. That's the basic definition of sin, my way. The basic definition of holiness that is God's way. One way leads to destruction, the Bible says, man's way, and the other way leads to life eternal, God's way. So this is what Paul is basically saying, the only thing that's reasonable after the cross, and that's really what he's talking about, after the cross and the mercies of God that he would actually send his son, the second person of the Trinity, and give his life for you and for me, and then rise on the third day. This is Palm Sunday. Next week, we're going to be celebrating Resurrection Day. It's not just Easter. It's Resurrection Day. And the only reasonable response Paul is saying is give it all to him. He gave it all to you. That's the only thing that makes sense. Give it all. Give it all. Hey, listen, when I've given this illustration many times. Gene and I were season ticket holders for the St. Louis Rams when they were here. When we went into a St. Louis Rams football game and it's the NFC Championship, the two I set through, Mike, I want you to know something. I gave it all. I had no voice by the end of the game. I'm high-fiving people I didn't know. Everybody's hugging people they didn't know. I mean, people became family in the room. And there is something about when you are victorious together. Now get the picture here. We were claiming that we were the champions. And they're playing, you know, I won't sing it. We are the champions. They're playing that song in the dome. And we're sitting there 60,000 strong, are high-fiving each other. We became family. We became champions. But we were never the one who fought the battle. You understand that? Get the picture? There was one who fought our battle for us. Get the picture. There was one who fought our battle so that we can say we are the champions. He went to battle for us. The Bible says in the 3 days that he was in the belly of the earth, he was doing spiritual warfare against the enemy on your behalf and on my behalf. And then he rose. He didn't just hang around doing nothing for 3 days. He went to battle. And the song starts to rise out of the ashes on the third day. We are the champions. We are the champions because we have a master who went to battle for us on the field. And I get to fly the championship flag. You know, it's amazing how many sports fans. I'm a sports fan. I'm radically, fanatically a sports fan. And I just am. I just really am. And when the Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals, by the way, somebody walked up to me down in Panama and said, do you have any New York Yankees hats? Mike, are you Maria? You from St. Louis originally? Okay, awesome. You could bleed for me then. That's good. I said, New York, And the teachers were all laughing. I'm like, I can't even say it. It's got such a bad taste on my mouth. It would be like Mike saying, Baltimore. Baltimore Ravens, We fanatics, I'm talking about fans of sports, want to claim we're the champions when really the champion is down there. Then they are so gracious. They let us buy things that say we are the champions, right? They're so nice. I mean, put it in perspective. Well, I want you to know something. The one who championed our cause made you the champions, and he put a royal robe on you, and it's a championship robe. You are champions because you've been crowned as righteous because he was crowned as righteous, and somehow we think it's all about not doing this anymore and not doing that anymore. Do you remember part one? It's all about what we don't do. Instead of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to actually go do something, to actually love people, Jesus said it, not me, love people enough that they would, what is it? Dude, you are, sweetie, you full of love. There's something about you I want to be around you. Why are you so happy? What is this joy about you when you have cancer, Vera? What is this joy about you when you're going through chemotherapy, Vera? And Dave, what is this about you when your bride is going through all this? You can actually stand there and say, I love you, God. What is that about you? It's just an amazing difference. I want you to turn before I do that, I want you to read the rest of this real quick, and then I'm going to move on. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Notice he used the word pattern as though it's repeated. Over, what's a pattern? When you cut a pattern, when you're doing a pattern for clothing, it's a pattern because there's going to be thousands perhaps made. That's what companies do. They make patterns. It's a habit. It's a normal. This is what, it's the cookie cutter. You know what that is. It's a cookie cutter shirt. There's a pattern pants. There's a pattern because it's going to be repeated over and over and again. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And again, for those of you perhaps who have never really surrendered, the key word, surrendered your life to the master, to God's, the following of God's word. If you've never surrendered it, the closest I can get there is become a grandparent and you'll know how stupid you can be. You'll know all of a sudden how your mind can be transformed into, I am now something new. And by the way, generosity was one of the things that hit me as a grandfather. I just have to come back to that. Generosity was, I just had to keep kissing. I just had to keep loving. Ed Boyette got baptized into the grandpa thing. And it just transforms your mind. So it goes on to say, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now I want to stop real quick. What are some of the patterns of this world? What is the natural reaction? I've got a list here, about 13 things. I want to hear from you. What is a natural pattern? I'm going to launch this thing into depression. Say it again. Selfishness is a pattern of the world. That's a pattern of the world. By the way, you know, as Christians, we always, we try and pick the 10 top sins. We kind of have a list of what, well, let's see, adultery is right there. And then there's homosexuality. And then there's, and you, we just kind of go down through. So we're not supposed to be those things. But listen to the list we're about to come up with here. The pattern of this world. A renewing of the mind is a renewal of the entire spirit. Because if you can control the mind, that's where the spirit is. You really see that. If we can control the mind, the Bible says that we're to take every thought captive and place it under the authority of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the battle's in the mind. The battle's in the mind. And it's going on right now for some of us in this room. All of us endure things. What's another pattern of this world? Another thing that reflects the world. Fear. Who said fear? Fear is huge. That was the one. Every time I'd come back, I'd list another one. I'd keep coming back to fear. We all, have you ever gotten a letter from the IRS in the mail? I have. And I, oh God, I don't even open it. Oh Jesus. I do a Fred Sanford, you know, Elizabeth. It's a big one. Fear strikes us. The enemy uses this. He can't make you afraid. He takes advantage of our fear, but he doesn't make us afraid. He just puts scenarios in front of us that will test us and test us and test us and test us. Moms, how many times when you drop that baby, brand new baby, off at the babysitter for the very first time? That's a real life thing. I mean, that happens every day, billions of times a day. How many times did you fear when you sent your child on a school bus and you pray and you just stand there praying for their safety and you're just afraid something's going to happen to them? Stace, I know, you know, I've said it in the past. I know you were following a son one night trying to find a car, trying to find where he was, and he wasn't where he was supposed to be. And you come up on a car that was completely totaled, and your son is not in that car, and the authorities are all around it. Fear strikes us, doesn't it? Fear strikes us. It's the unimaginable, you know, to him. The Bible says to him who was able to do immeasurably more than we could ask for or imagine. You know, there's a lot of bad things that we imagine. Have you ever noticed we actually imagine bad things before we ever use our imagination to imagine the good things of God? That's what we do. We imagine he can deliver us from the bad things, but we don't ever imagine that in the beginning he could actually do miraculous, amazing things on our behalf. On our behalf. So what are some of the other things? I have anger. I have temper, which is the habit of anger. What are some other things? Throw them out at me. I want you to participate. Love. Wow. Love. Even the world knows how to love, don't they? Even the world knows. I mean, seriously. I've actually seen people who were not serving Jesus Christ love deeper than some people that are in church every Sunday. I really have. It is a beautiful thing to watch love. Really, whether it's a believer or not, but it's a beautiful thing to watch love. Do you know how many people are in Corundu, that Panama little community, a poverty community, that love those children that don't even know God? But God is still pleased because they're being loved on. Anyone else? What to say it again? Pride. That's huge. That's pride cometh before the fall, right? Deceit. Lying. Hopelessness, the now value system, that's very normal for this world. That's the pattern that we live for now. What was it in the 60s? Feels good, do it. 1960s, if it feels good, do it. It's the here and now mentality, the philosophy. The world doesn't think eternal. The pattern of this world is here and now. What is kind of party today for tomorrow we die. Jimmy Buffett wrote a song. I have to admit, I hadn't thought of it till just now. Jimmy Buffett wrote a song, I'd rather die while I'm living than live while I'm dead. Get that? I'd rather die while I'm living. In other words, do things that are causing death early than live while my body's dead. Man, that's about 70 years of living while you're dying. And that's an eternity of dying. You know, or you know what I'm saying? That's, eternity's a long time. The opposite's a long time. I'd rather die while I'm living than live while I'm dead. Hey, listen, give me life after death. I want to spend eternity with the Master. I want to spend eternity with you guys. I want to spend eternity with my family. It's a total, this is what Paul's saying, stop the pattern of the world. And the pattern, I'm going to go back to a couple of them, the pattern of fear. This is not, the word says, for the God did not give us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and sound mind. Power and sound mind. The pattern for the believer should be power, authority, living, and sound mind. In other words, really amazing judgment and assessment and wisdom. Yeah, somebody yelled wisdom at the same time. That's the mark of the believer. So what Paul is saying here, you know, I wanted to touch on in this part too. It's not about what we don't do. The enemy has us right where he wants us if it's about what we don't do. But there's a lot of people in this world that need Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people in this world, children that need to be fed. God, my Lord Jesus. I'm at an orphanage in Guatemala that many of you have been to, and some of you actually sponsored some of the children there in the Brito orphanage. And these children are hearing about Jesus Christ. You should see the church facility and the school that was built after we left on the property. And they open it every weekend to the entire Brito community. These children, the government is now placing children in the Brito orphanage, more and more, because it's you all know Don Kassabaum, right? Don Kassabaum is an extension of St. Charles River Church. We ordained him several years ago here in a Sunday morning. And Don Kassabaum is he and Barber. They run this orphanage, 26 acres of Ladue in the middle of hell. It's just amazing what God has done through the Kassabaum family. And you go down there and you look at this church. It's just an amazing thing. These kids know about Jesus Christ. Their English book is the Bible. And there's 97 orphans, or they call them orphans, but they actually, they're family. They're actually family to Daniel and Raquel. Some of you know Daniel and Raquel, the overseers of the Brito orphanage. These are family, and the government hides them. They were, Guatemala for years was known, for example, as the top Latin American country for kidnapping of children. And the two biggest reasons Guatemala was known for that was sex slavery, human trafficking, and body parts. Think of that. The Eastern Bloc, that was known for, Eastern Bloc was known around the other side. Eastern Bloc communists were known for buying children to get body parts, kidneys, lungs, extra body parts. They were known for doing that. And so they would sell these, they would kidnap children. And then if the deal fell through, they would just drop them off. The kidnappers would just drop them off because they weren't going to go to prison the rest of their life for nothing. And so if the deal fell through, the buyers or the kidnappers would just drop the children off. And they would, these children would roam. And when these children are captured by the authorities, they have no idea who they are. They can't even tell who their parents are. And sometimes they're dropped off hundreds of miles away from home. Their parents could never come pick them up. Their parents don't own a TV. Their parents have no mass communication. And they have no way to know whatever happened to that child. And the government places those children into Brito Orphanage's care. And they're hearing about Jesus. And they're being fed. And some of you are paying for that. Some of you are sponsoring children in Kirundu. There's this do thing. The being transformed by the renewing of our minds is about doing something. And I want to talk to you for 2 minutes to 3 minutes about part of the doing. It's called investment. I'm not going to take an offering for this. Don't worry. That's not where I'm going. So just let your mind go. Pastor Mike's going to come up, take the regular tithes and offering here in just a few minutes. But investment, the Bible says, where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. You got it. There your heart is also. It doesn't say where what you love you'll invest in. It's not what it says. God's word didn't say that. What it says is, where your treasures are, where you invest, there your heart is also. Let me ask you this. How many of you, and I've asked you this before, how many of you checked your Boeing stock this morning? Did you? You actually did. Why didn't the rest of you? Oh, you have nothing invested there. So your heart, dude, you would. You have McDonald's hamburger stock? Did you check it this morning? Yeah. No, because you don't have any there. You would have Boeing. But how many check stocks you don't have anything invested in? No, you don't do that because you got nothing in it. You got no dog in the race. Well, let me flip it a little bit. How many of you drove by an elementary school for years and never cared too much about the elementary school, but when you put your baby on that school bus and they started attending that school, all of a sudden you started attending the teachers' meetings and caring that there's a good principal, a good assistant principal, a good counselors, that they're not wacky? And there's a good teacher in there that's going to listen to me as a parent? Because I happen to know my children better than you do. There's a little invested there. The most precious things you have in life, our families, are being invested there. So where my treasures are, there my heart is also, baby. I'm going to show up to the teachers' meetings, and I'm going to claim some rights to know some things here because my heart is following my babies, right? Okay, so investment. If you ever want to have the changing of the mind about world missions, I'm just saying, if you ever open to that, if you're not, you'll never do this. But just try one time. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I have information for you guys on sponsoring children. I got that. Bob sent it. You try one time going in to a child that has been kicked out of school. Jimmy knows a baby, a girl down there that was, she wasn't kicked out of school, but her mother couldn't pay the $30 bill any longer. Jimmy walks up to me. He met her. How many times ago did you meet this young lady, this little girl? A couple of visits back. Right? 3 or 4 years ago then. And Jimmy comes to school this week and he says, what's her name? Mia. Where's Mia? Where's Mia? I want to see Mia. Why? Because Jimmy relationally bonded. You just do. These little kids, these little boys, these little girls will come up to you and they look so cute and they smile real big and half of them missing their teeth, you know, because they're at that age where there's no teeth in the front of their head. And they smile real big and you got a big hug and you can't wait. And you tell them, I'll see you next time. I'll see you next time. And when you come back and they say, well, Mia couldn't come back. Because Mia's mother couldn't afford the $30 anymore. All of a sudden what you do is you go to Barry, like Jimmy did, and you say, Barry, tell me how I can support Mia. You tell me how I can support her. Because Jimmy's heart is right there in Karundu. His body may be here this morning at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, but his heart belongs to a little bitty girl named Mia that needs Jesus Christ and hope every day. And the reason he knows that is because he knows the story that most of those children will go home from Karundu. This is the safest 6 hours they will spend in a day. Because most of them will go home to molestation and things that are beyond description. That's the closest word I'll get. That's the only word I'll go into descriptive nature today. Those children will go home to abuse. And the only hours they have peace and safety and the truth of Jesus Christ and teachers that love them. I spoke to the teachers at 6:30 in the morning on Wednesday morning, I believe. 6:30 in the morning, I went over to the school and I met with the teachers. They wanted me to come and speak to them from God's word about things that would encourage them because they were so discouraged. And I told them this, you're our heroes. You're our heroes. You're the one right there loving these kids when they go home to abusive parents. Most of them don't have a daddy in the home. They're going to go home to abusive situations where the mother allows things to happen to children because food will come if she does. You get the picture? If you know Bob and Mary, Mary says, I cry so much knowing what's going to happen to these children when they, even the boys, the little boys, they're going to go home to abuse. But those of you who have been there, this investment principle, Jesus said it. Where your treasures are, there your heart is also. God's word says, given it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Get that picture? Get that picture. Some of you invested into Mitzi down in Karundu and you can't get your stinking heart away from her. We met her when she was about 12 years old. She lived on the street, worked the street to support her siblings, had no parents. Now Mitzi, Every time we come, Mitzi shows up. Now she's dedicated to Mary Ellen. Twice this week she said, I want to call Mary Ellen. I said, well, give me your cell phone. Doug Hale bought it for you last time you were down here. She said, it's charging at home. So I use my cell phone and she's texting Mary Ellen. And I see Mary Ellen go, why? Because her heart's there. Because her heart is there. Why? Because Mary Ellen actually invested $1,700 the first time. And all of a sudden, she's there, hook, line, and sinker. You don't go home until 7 days later. And she's invested herself. Where your treasures are, there your heart is also. It just is that way. There's a transformation of the mind when you invest. It's called a transformation of the mind. It's a value system. God's value system or my value system. Doesn't make any sense, does it, to go send money to Latin America? Doesn't make any sense to send money to East St. Louis? Doesn't make any sense to go, I worked hard for that. I hear this. I was talking to a man in the airport last night in Miami. Well, I work hard for that. And they deserve what they got. Oh my God. I'm sitting there going, I need to get up and walk away from you. I don't want the lightning to strike because they deserve what they got mentality. It's in the church even. We need a renewal of the mind when it says, oh, I didn't get what I deserved. God gave me the cross. He gave me the cross. This renewal of my mind stops saying, people ought to, he deserves that. And finding some level of satisfaction in people getting what they deserve. I've heard this, even in church people. Pruitt Igoe, they got what they deserved. I don't want what I deserve. And one way to find that not happening is to make sure I give others, I sow this seed. I want to sow seed in others that they don't get what they deserved. Because I actually had a capability of giving or doing something for them that didn't let them get what they deserved. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I will say this. Investment's huge. Wise decisions are huge. Not long ago, and I will tell you, I do say no to more trips with Convoy of Hope than I say yes to. That's the before the Lord, that is the truth. I say no to a lot of Convoy of Hope trips. They did because they'll continue to call, and I want them to. But I got a phone call not long ago, and I'm going to close with this. Barry, would you go to all my trips to Haiti are canceled this year because of the revolution that's going on in Haiti? And they said, Barry, we're canceling those trips, but would you take a trip to in late May, would you take a trip to Puerto Rico? Got a team out of New York. We need to take a team down to Puerto Rico on behalf of Convoy of Hope. I said, let me look at my calendar. I said, yes, I think that works. Some of you didn't even know this. So I said, yes, I'm going to accept that. And Pam's over here going, dear Jesus. So I love Pam's calm demeanor. Just calm demeanor. She's, yeah. So anyway, I said, yes, that's going to work. So I sent him an email, said, yeah, that'll work. I can do that. A little tight, but I can do that. And this is what hit me. Barry, your anniversary is on May 23rd. You should have heard me in the restaurant. I went, oh, Lord Jesus. People looking at me in the restaurant. I went, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. I got 37 years invested in this marriage. So I'm typing. Dear Becca, I am so sorry. I just had a stupid attack. May 23rd is my 38th wedding anniversary. And if I want to ensure that I will have a 39th wedding anniversary, I need to be in St. Charles for my 38th wedding anniversary. With my bride. And Becca sends back, great choice. Great choice. God gives us wisdom even after stupid attacks. You know, we need a renewing of the mind. How many understand what we're talking about this morning? How many understand? Well, Father, thank you for a great, go ahead and give the Lord a hand. Father, we need a renewing of our minds. We need a renewal of our value systems. There's just so much you want to do in us, and you want to take the mentality of what it is that I can't do out of that renewing of the mind, and you want to place this new value system, a whole new approach to living the Christ life above our fear, above our selfishness, above our pride, above our anger, above our tempers, that selfness that we, God, you just want to put in us this value system that's a Christ value system. Do that in us. Do that in our grandkids, I pray. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord another great hand, will you? I am so glad to be home. Thank you. Praise God.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.